Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Good morning out there. It's Saturday. What's that mean? It's the Garden Hotline coming at you today from 8 to 10. My name is Michelle Reeser-West. I'm here from Pointer Landscape. I'm here to answer all your gardening questions. So if you guys have them, the lines are open. Phone number to call is 314-436-7900. That number is also good for a text if you're too shy to call in and ask your question. We can take your text messages at that same number, 314-436-7900. And again, we're answering any of your gardening questions. I'll try with your lawn care questions. Last week, we had a great guest. We had Kevin Horde from Spectrum Lawn Care answering some of our fall lawn care questions. And really, this week, for me, it's been all about this drought. I'm kind of in a love-hate relationship recently with irrigation and watering and irrigation systems. I spent most of my week with wet clothes, wet socks, and forgetting to bring galoshes or a change of shoes for the end of the day. But it's really, really dry out there. So, you know, we really got to take some time to get watering. You can really see some drought stress and signs of stress have been around for a long time. But, you know, we have a little bit of rain in the forecast for the next few days. I think it's less than a 50% chance of some pop-up showers coming and going. But, you know, watering your plants here in the next few days as soon as possible, if you haven't already. You know, you're driving around town right now, everything is looking a little bit sad. It's almost feeling or looking like it's fall, but it's not feeling temperature-wise like it's fall. A lot of trees out there are dropping leaves. A lot of things are brown, you know, and it's just really no real end in sight here in the next couple weeks as far as relief from any major rain events. So getting out those hoses and checking on your irrigation is going to be key. Even folks out there with irrigation systems, we're seeing it a lot these past week or so, that the irrigation systems, the way we've had them set for a typical summer, is just not keeping up with the drought, the level of drought that we have. So checking on your irrigation systems, making sure, you know, walking the yard, checking to see if there's any dry spots or if there's any plants that are showing signs of drought. It's the time to do it. Might be past time. I know a lot of my plants might be on the other side of coming back, but definitely get those hoses out. We're going to go to the phone lines. We got Tim on the line. Tim, go ahead with your question.
Hey, good morning. I was considering, my wife and I are thinking about planting like a wildflower, some wildflower seeds that we were given. And I was just wondering, is that a fall thing we should be doing, or should we be waiting till spring to actually put those seeds in a garden bed?
This is a great question, Tim. Fall really is a bit too early to be putting any wildflower seeds down. I like to wait until winter, until that cold weather gets here. You can do it December, even January, into February. You know, they actually say one of the best times to put your wildflower seed down is after it snows, and putting that seed right on top of the snow because it's getting moisture as that snow melts down. But most seeds, most of these wildflowers or native seeds, need a time of cool so they can do their stratifications. They will not germinate without having a time of cold temperature. So getting them out in the late fall, winter time, and letting them be outside in the ground, you know, doing their thing until spring comes. And then once those warmer temperatures get here, they'll start to do their germination.
Oh, cool. Thank you. I have one other quick question about, and I don't know, maybe you don't know about it, but these locust trees, I have some property and some of the land wasn't really maintained for a while. So there's a lot of little sprouted locust trees that have those thorns on them. And they're not huge trees, but they're probably the limit of what I can pull out of the ground. I was wondering, do you know if Tordon or a product like that, if I cut those trees off instead and treated the root of it with Tordon, will that kill the tree, or am I wasting time with that?
No, Tordon is a great product for that. It really works well for all woody things that you're cutting back. Just cut it back, and as soon as you make that fresh cut, you just carefully paint on that herbicide to that fresh wound. And again, fall is a great time to do these types of activities because our trees and shrubs are taking all of that energy back down into their roots, which means they're gonna drink up that herbicide and take that right back down into the root system. So Tordon should be a great product for that. And just read the label, make sure you wear the proper, you know, rubber gloves or whatever you need to, and you should be good to go on that.
Yeah, it's a nasty little product, but it does always seem to work with some of the lilac and stuff like that.
That's right. It's a little bit stronger product, so I always, you know, caution, make sure you're using it in the correct way. You know, there are really, you know, using a paintbrush or something like that is a way to do it. There are like little binger dauber bottles that you can buy on the internet, or little spray bottles or things like that, that you can make the application process a little less messy or a little less dangerous for spilling and things like that. But there are definitely ways to manage those risks of using the herbicide. And sometimes that's the best option. You know, I don't always push for herbicide use. In fact, I, you know, want to start with something else if possible. But there are times, especially on a larger scale, when you have to remove a lot of things, that using a pesticide in a responsible way is the way to go.
Yeah, I think we do it like a two-man job. First guy cuts, second guy paints.
Right.
So that otherwise it goes everywhere. It seems like it's on everything.
Yeah, there are events around town for honeysuckle, and sometimes they call them hack and squirts because one person is hacking and the other person is spraying it with Roundup or some other herbicide. But that's a great technique for sure.
Yep. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Tim. Good luck with that. Up next, we have Pat. Pat, you're on the air. Go ahead with your question.
Yes, good morning, and thank you for taking my call. I have a lawn question. I've been watering our front because we have a giant 50-year-old oak tree. The back grass I haven't watered as much, but it grew. I would have to cut it. I have a mower that I use the mulching side of the blade. Where I mulch, I don't bag. So I have large, like 3 by 2 feet brown spots in my grass where I can go out and pick up the grass and it comes up like a carpet down to the dirt. I had the yard aerated 2 weeks ago and didn't put the grass seed down because of severe temperatures. But do I need, I'm a senior citizen, do I need to get all that brown thatch up? I read, I went on the internet and looked, and it could be grub worms, but I dug down and I didn't see any. It could be too much thatch buildup or fungus. So it's, you know, a large project. I'm a little frustrated, but do I need to get all of, I can tell the difference in the grass. The green regular grass has a thicker blade, and the ones that turned brown was like a wispy, thin grass that you could just pull up.
Yeah, so the aeration portion of it is good. So if those plugs are still out and you still have a lot of those holes that the aerator made, then I would say you probably don't need to worry too much about raking up that thatch or raking up the dead grass or those patches. If the if those aeration plugs have, you know, from watering or from time, have kind of broken down and those holes have filled in again, it might be needed to go and get that those dead patches kind of raked up. That seed really wants to be in contact with soil in order to germinate. So if it's sitting on top of that dried grass or the dead grass, it may not be touching actual soil, so it may have a harder time with germination. So if, again, if that you still have those aeration holes that has opened up, some of the seed has probably fallen in there and will germinate. If it was 2 weeks ago when it was when you aerated, you haven't put seed down, is what you said. So I would go ahead and put that seed down and just make sure you're watering. If there are areas where it's like super thick thatch, which we're seeing a lot when there was fungus and that has kind of died back, it's kind of a thick layer of that dead grass. Sometimes that is helpful to just go out there and rake it up so you can get to that soil. But you know, if you still have adequate holes from aeration, I would say, you know, I would go ahead and put that seed down.
So do you think it's grubs or what do you think caused all that?
I mean, it's hard to say. It could be either one of those. We're seeing a lot of both. You don't always, when you dig around in there, see those active grubs if the soil has been disturbed. And if it's really dry, they're going to, you know, you may not see them. We've also seen a ton of disease and fungal issues. One of the ways you could potentially look is just get a piece of the grass and look for any fungal marking. Sometimes that's striping. Sometimes it's little discoloration and dots. So if you see evidence of that on some of that old dead grass, it's likely that you had a fungal infection.
And when should I apply the GrubX next? And like I was told too, after I do the seed, then wait till October and come back with like a fertilizer.
Right. Yeah, so we typically do our grub control in our lawn fertilization program. We only do it once per season. And then we do that, you know, in the beginning of the year, like the late spring time frame. So I wouldn't do a grub control now. And then as far as, you know, fertilizing, definitely not putting, we don't want to put a fertilizer down with seed. That you could do maybe a starter fertilizer, which is a different makeup of fertilizer. It's got more phosphorus in it as opposed to nitrogen. But really, if you just let that seed germinate and start growing and give it, you know, 2-3 weeks after it's germinated and started growing, then put that high nitrogen fertilizer down. And you'll have better success with that. So definitely waiting on fertilization till your grass has been given a little bit of time to get rooted in and get going.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your help.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for the call. We're going to take a short break. We're going to get back to your calls. If you're waiting, thanks for being patient. Our phone number to call is 314-436-7900. Again, that's also a text line, so text us your questions. And you are listening to 104.1 KMOX, the voice of St. Louis. And we're back with the Garden Hotline. I am here. My name is Michelle. I'm from Pointer Landscape. I'm answering all of your gardening questions today, or at least I'm going to try. Our phone number, if you have a question, 314-436-7900. That number is also good for text. So if you have any questions and you want to not call in and ask, you can send me a text and I'll try to answer in that way. Let's jump right back in. We have Jim on the line. Jim, go ahead with your question.
Yes, I just purchased a bag of K31 fescue, and they got a test date on there of September of 2025. What does that really mean?
I don't know. I don't know. I want to have a really good answer for you. I believe that that was when they last tested for germination. I'm not sure like how old that seed is, but I believe what that number is that the last time that they tested for germination. But I'm actually not sure. That might be a question for Kevin or somebody else. I can try to find that out for you, but I just don't know the answer to that one. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I tested it, or maybe they planted it and it came up in September. I don't know. But anyway, hey, thank you.
Yeah, good luck. Thanks for stumping me. I love these lawn care and seed questions. But
put that down probably next month then. So thank you.
Yeah, good luck to you. Thanks so much for the call. We do have a text that came in. Somebody is asking, looking for small evergreens that are shade tolerant. So this list is not very long. It's one of the things that we struggle with in design, you know, trying to find that evergreen look for the shady areas. A lot of evergreens that do well for us here in St. Louis don't always love those shady locations. Some that do, you know, you have your typical boxwoods that don't mind shade. You can use yews are also shade tolerant. If you think about things like rhododendron, azaleas, rhododendron are technically evergreen. Some azaleas are like semi-evergreen, so those can be a good option. You know, rhododendrons and azaleas aren't always super happy to be living here in St. Louis, so they're not always a great long-term plant for us. You know, they like an acidic soil. So if you do plant those, just know you might need to do some soil amending, or they may not last as long as some of the other types of shrubs. But really, those are it. You know, we have our junipers. Those like full sun. They can tolerate a little bit of shade. There are some arborvitae that can tolerate a little bit of shade, but certainly not full shade. We also have holly, which is an option. You know, those sometimes have a little bit of winter damage for us. And part of that is the, you know, the shade in the wintertime. So if it is in a full shade situation, the wintertime comes, we got strong winds or an extra long period of cold. Sometimes those guys get a little bit of winter damage, so they can get a little thin over time. So holly is an option. There are a bunch of different kinds of holly shrubs. So that's an option for you, too. But other than that, it's kind of like one of those things that we're constantly trying to, you know, figure out what kind of in more interesting maybe ideas to put for evergreen options for the shade. But I hope that helps. That was a text calling in or writing in. And we're going to go back to our phone lines. We have Ray up next. Ray, you're on the air. Go ahead with your question.
Good morning. This may have kind of been answered earlier on the grass seed, but I have a question. Is there like a typical shelf life for grass seed? Like, say, if it's 2 years old, it's not going to germinate anymore, or if it's 1 year old, don't try it? Or?
Yeah, I mean, this is a great great question. I'm not really sure on this. Somebody called earlier and asked for like what it meant on the bag. From what I know about other seeds, so let me just kind of troubleshoot it a little bit for you. I know my seeds that I use for the garden and for vegetables and things like that typically are two, maybe three seasons if they're kept in a cool, dry place. I would suspect that most grass seed would probably, if you're keeping it in a cool place, certainly dry place, that it would probably last two, three seasons, maybe more. I mean, if you have it, I would put it down and give it some. We still have plenty of time in the year right now. So if you put it down, you already own it. Go ahead and put it down. It takes, you know, 10 days, 2 weeks for it to germinate. Even if you don't have great germination with that seed, 2 weeks from now, we're still in a window of being able to germinate. So maybe you buy a small bag to fill in some of those areas that didn't germinate as well. But if it were me, I would go ahead and use it.
And also, you said don't use any starter fertilizer at this time until it starts getting established?
Oh, no, you can use a starter fertilizer. If you are going to use a fertilizer with your seed, only use the starter fertilizer. Don't use your regular lawn fertilizer when you're seeding. It's just a different makeup, a different kind of fertilizer that's in that starter fertilizer. So that's the only kind you should use, and definitely read the label for your application rate, because too much fertilizer is not good for your little baby grass. So yeah, starter fertilizer is it.
All right. Okay, enjoy the show.
Yeah, thanks so much for your question. Up next, we have Joyce. Joyce, go ahead with your question.
Good morning, Michelle. Listen, regarding this the gentleman's just recent question, one of the things that I have done before and it works, if I have seed that I'm not certain is still viable, you can sopping wet a paper towel and sprinkle some seed and keep that paper towel wet. And then after two or three days, if you see some germination, then you know that your seed is still viable. So just a thought.
That's a great pointer, and I like that. I didn't think about that, but you're absolutely right. That's a great idea. And then I've also seen, like, on the internet, I'm not sure if it's true, there's something about if you put your seed in water, I don't remember if it floats, it's still good, or if it sinks, I don't know. But there are all kinds of things like that to test it out. But Joyce, that's a great point. And I'm happy that you called in to let us know. Guys, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back to answer your questions. Phone number to call or text 314-436-7900. You're on the Garden Hotline, 1041 KMOX. And we're back with the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscape, and I'm here today answering all of your gardening questions. Phone number to call is 314-436-7900. That is also a text line. Speaking of which, we do have a text that came in. One of the questions that was asked is about boxwoods. Best time to cut back? How low can I go? Great question. We are kind of sort of nearing the end of boxwood pruning time. You know, when I was in college, they always said tax day to Labor Day was kind of the time frame. And really, we're just thinking about frost. We want to get done with our boxwood pruning 2 to 3 weeks before our frost is going to, our first frost happens. That frost can damage any new growth that hasn't had time to harden off. So, you know, with the weather in its current state and no sign of frost in the foreseeable future, I think that we're still in a good window for pruning. You can do, I would, you know, if you want to go back, you know, we say, how low can I go? If you want to do a harder cutback, I would definitely recommend doing that in the dormant time. You know, dormant boxwood pruning, I'm thinking around February-ish time frame. We want to do it before everything starts kind of leafing out and coming back to life. This is a time where there is the least amount of stress, and then when it kind of breaks dormancy, it's going to put on some new growth. So how low can you go? It's going to be kind of dependent on your boxwoods and how healthy they are. You know, boxwoods are pretty resilient. So if they're getting really leggy and thin, you could, you know, you can go back pretty far. You know, you can cut them in half. You could, if you're into a little bit of risk, you could go a little bit further than that. I always recommend if you're doing a hard cutback on your boxwoods, to make sure that you give it a little bit of fertilization. You know, you're going to do it over this winter, give it a little bit of fertilization this fall, and then you'll want to give it a little bit of fertilization when it breaks dormancy. In the springtime, boxwoods, we typically recommend using a product called Hollytone. It's organic. It's readily available in most of our garden centers. So that would be something that you could do here in the next month or so, and then something again in the spring once it breaks dormancy. Regular old boxwood pruning, you have a couple more weeks to go on that before I would cut that off. But yeah, boxwood pruning, a lot of questions on that all the time. But I just remember tax day to Labor Day, or remember about those frost lines. I got another question on the text lines. Newly seeded lawn, is top dressing worth the expense? And this is one, I think that there are a couple different rules of thought. There are people that really think that that is a way to go. And you know, you have Kevin from Spectrum, who was here last week with us, said that it was something that they don't typically do. So it's not that it's not recommended, but it is, you know, it is a cost. So I would really take into consideration your soil type. You know, that's one of the things that, or why we're putting down that compost on our overseeded lawns, is to kind of help out with some of the nutrients or help out with drainage of our soil. So if you're in an area where you have grass that's super struggly, maybe your soil is really compacted with clay, you know, doing a top dressing with that compost can add some nutrients back. It can help to get some organic matter in, which will ultimately help with drainage. So I guess my answer to that is, you know, like how healthy is your soil? And then I would make my decision from that. One of the ways that you can do that, I always recommend doing soil tests. So if you want to spend the $25 going to the extension office, the University of Missouri Extension Office does soil testing for, I think, around $25-$30. That's a great way to get information about what your soil needs and what your plant needs. And you can give them the specifics that you're wanting your soil tested for the lawn, or you're wanting your soil tested for your veggie beds or your flower beds. And then with that information, they can give you a nice little report on your soil, your pH, some of the different nutrients that are in there. And then they give you recommendations on what you should do to improve your soil. So that would be my recommendation. Soil test first, and then determine where you need to go from there. Up next, we have Art on the line. Art, go ahead with your question.
Okay, good morning. I don't have a question per se. It has to do with bagworms. Have you ever had to deal with them, or how you dealt with them?
Oh, yeah. What's your question about bagworms?
Well, I'm going to tell you what I did, and it worked.
Okay.
I found bagworms about a month ago on a Colorado spruce.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a 10-foot spruce tree, and I had, you know, it's one of those deals. You know, what have I got to lose? Either I cut it down, or, you know, I think Google told me to cut them off.
Yeah.
Or, you know, to pull them off.
Yeah.
Well, I took one of that cutter's insect lawn, you know, that hooks up to the end of your hose, you know, and you spray, you know, it's for spraying bugs in your lawn. I took that and I sprayed that whole thing on it, on the tree. I just stood there and sprayed it. It takes a long time. But the next day, all those bagworms were trying to, you know, escape from their bags and all that stuff. They were dead, and the tree looks fine now.
That's a great advice.
I just wanted to pass it on.
Yeah, thanks for that, Art. I appreciate it, and thanks for your call. For those of you out there that don't know, Art's talking about this insect. It's called a bagworm. They're kind of gross slash neat, in my opinion. They're these insects that feed. They're actually little larvae. They're little worms. And they feed on your evergreens. Sometimes they are on your deciduous. They love junipers. They sometimes go on arborvitaes. Art said they were growing on his spruce. But they do grow on a lot of different species of plants. But what they do is the little larva will eat pieces of your tree, your plant, and they make a bag out of what they're kind of chewing up. So they make their little home. It's like a little cocoon out of whatever their host is. So in this particular case, it was a spruce tree. So those bugs or that larva will overwinter in these cocoons. And then in the spring, they emerge as a flying insect. And then they go about and do their thing and they mate and they will make more of these little larvae. And they can be really destructive to our trees. They can decimate an evergreen in no time. You will not see anything. And then, you know, you'll come out a week later and half of your evergreen will be munched on by these guys. So it is important to try to remove them when possible, because we know that a lot of our evergreens, if they do lose their needles, they do not regenerate those. So it can be really bad for the health of your plant. So one of the things that you can do, like Art said, Google told him to hand pick off those bugs. And if that's a small infestation, I think that's a great way to do it. And if you're not wanting to use insecticide, that's also really the only way to do it, is to hand pick those. We typically have like a bucket of soapy water next to us when we're doing it. And we just throw those cocoons right into that soapy bucket of water, which will kill those insects without using any kinds of herbicide. A lot of time using herbicide on bagworms is not effective, because they make that case, that the cocoon with that plant material, and it's hard to penetrate with a insecticide. So I'm kind of surprised at this late state in the game that herbicide was able to penetrate. Sounds like he was using a hose and a high rate of water or application. So, you know, there are insecticides that you can use for that. But most of the time, if we just have a small infestation, hand picking is the way to go. But they're kind of gross, but again, kind of cool. They're kind of munching on our plants and, you know, making these little bags out of it. So that part's cool. I know a lot of people aren't interested in bugs and and cocoons and things in their plants or around their home. So might not be great for all of us. Number to call, 314-436-7900. I'm going to do one more text before we take a break. This question from a listener says, I still have summer flowers that look good, though I know they won't. I don't know. It got cut off, so I'm going to say I know they won't last. So a lot of our summer flowers, our annuals we put in, zinnia, lantana, things like that are annuals, are still looking good. You know, annuals love the hot summer temperatures, and if you're keeping them watered, they probably look great. Mine do not. My flowers in my pots are looking really sad, because I've said it before and I'm not ashamed of it. I am a lazy gardener, and I sometimes forget to water and weed and do all of those things. So if your flowers are still looking good and you want to keep them around for a while, you know, keep you know, fertilizing if you're doing that, keep them watered, keep them deadheaded, and really you can keep them around until frost time. Normally on most of our annuals, that frost will kind of kill them back, and you'll have to take them out then. But I'd say if your summer flowers are still looking good, then keep them around as long as possible and enjoy that pretty show that they're putting on for you. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll answer more of your questions. The phone number to call or text, 314-436-7900. This is KMOX 104.1, The Voice of St. Louis.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window.
Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved, home protected, bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
And we're back with the Garden Hotline. We're in the final segment of our first hour, 314-436-7900, to call or text. My name is Michelle Reeser-West. I am a horticulturist with Pointer Landscape, and I'm here today trying to answer all of your gardening questions. So give us a call, and we'll try to get those answered. I'm going to go to a text that we received, and this text said, tips for growing, and I always murder the name of this, Kalanchoe, I believe is right. Tips for growing Kalanchoe indoors. I received one as a gift, and it's been on my east screened porch all summer. So what I know about this plant, which isn't a lot, I'm not a big house plant knowledgeable person, but I know that this plant, in order to keep flowering during our winter time, it needs a lot of darkness, and it likes to be blocked from like ambient light. So once those flowers fade, you bring it inside. It's one of these plants that wants to have like literally like total darkness. It wants to be put like in a cabinet, or you can put like a cardboard box over it for 12 to 14 hours. And then bring it out and let it have that natural, indirect, not full sun, but indirect, bright, bright light. And that will help with flowering. The other thing that this plant likes is for it to dry out. And don't be fooled by that. It wants to dry out and then immediately be watered. It doesn't want to be dry for a terribly long time. It just needs to kind of dry out between watering. So don't water it unless the soil in the pot is totally dry. But again, don't let it dry out. So I swear that all houseplants hate me. My house is really where all houseplants come to die. And it might be because of my aforementioned problem of being a lazy gardener and forgetting to water and then overwatering. And I promise you that my thing is that I think the exact amount of water it takes to keep a plant alive, a houseplant alive, is the exact amount of water it takes to kill it. So good luck with that. Again, Kind of a finicky plant, if you ask me, but beautiful and maybe worth it if you're into it. But I've killed a few of those. But they do say that you don't really truly know a plant until you've killed it a few times. So I hope that helps. And, you know, I hope you get some blooms all through the winter. It's a great gift from your friend. We are going to take a quick break. Again, my name is Michelle. I'm with Pointer Landscaping. The number to call to give us or ask us your questions, 314-436-7900. We do have somebody on the line waiting, so thanks for your patience. And again, you can text us with any of your questions. You're listening to KMOX 104.1, The Voice of St. Louis. We're back to the second hour of the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West. I am the Director of Horticulture for Pointer Landscape, and I'm here to answer all of your garden-related questions today. You know, I was speaking with Erin Goss yesterday, who has been a guest on this show many times, and she mentioned to me that there was a really cool event happening today. Started at 7 o'clock this morning. It's going all the way till 9 o'clock tonight. It's called a Bio Blitz, and it's out on the Gravois Greenway, Grants Trail. And it's part of a thing that the Great Rivers Greenway are doing and the Department of Conservation. They're out all day today using an iNaturalist app to try to collect information about all the different types of bugs and plants and all of that stuff. So it's an event for everybody. It's open to the public. And it's just a really cool way to help the Department of Conservation and to learn about local biodiversity and, you know, to help contribute to some scientific research. Throughout the day, they're doing kind of like 2-hour segments. Right now, from 9 to 11, they're looking at the different insects and pollinators. And from, you know, 11 to 1 o'clock, they're going to look at herbaceous plants and fungi. They're going to do trees and shrubs, aquatic animals, reptiles and amphibians. They're looking at all kinds of stuff using the cool iNaturalist app, which you guys can use. You don't have to just use it with them. It's a really great way to learn about our environment and to help track some of the species that we have in our area. So again, that's called the Bio Blitz, and you can go get more information on that from greatriversgreenway.org. And that is today from 7 a.m. this morning. They got started all the way to 9 p.m. tonight. So check out that today if you are looking for something to do with your time. We're going to go to the phone lines. We're going to talk to Donna. She's been waiting a long time. Donna, thanks for your patience. Go ahead with your question.
Okay, Michelle, thank you. I spoke with you before. I do have that columnar apple tree in a container, and the summer was pretty hard on it. It developed fungus and mildew, and I did spray it. It's still green and alive, but it does look pretty sad. It did develop a sucker at the bottom, and the sucker actually looks healthier than the tree.
I don't doubt that.
That was my question. Is there a way to take a sucker from a tree and start another tree with it? Because I'm thinking of taking it out of the container and putting it in the ground. I think that it was really hard in that container with the heat and all. And so that's my question. Can I use the sucker? And how would I do it, if so? And then, is now a good time to put the tree in the ground, or do I wait for it to go into dormancy?
Yeah, these are all great questions, Donna, and I totally remember talking to you about the columnar apple tree because I also have one. Mine is in the ground, and I still had fungus. I still have disease. I still had all of the bad stuff on mine. It was a rough year for plants in general with all of that stuff. Right now, to answer your question about planting, is a good time. I know that it's still warm. We have some drought. Technically speaking, we are in fall and we are in a prime time for planting. So I always say if you've already got it, it's in a pot, you're either going to water it in the pot or you're going to water it in the ground. And having that protection from the soil around it and possibly some mulch will help kind of retain some of that moisture. And getting it in the ground early will help to get some of those roots established before it goes dormant. So definitely a great time for planting that tree. And then as far as that sucker goes, you know, a lot of our plants, apple trees in particular, a lot of other plants are grafted. And what that means is that they take rootstock from a really healthy species of apple and they graft another plant onto the top of it that might be this columnar form of apple tree. So the top part of the tree doesn't necessarily match the root stock that the tree is growing from. So a lot of times those suckers are the root stock sending up new growth. So we don't actually know what that is. If you're you know, interested in doing a science experiment, I think you could definitely try to cut that off and grow a new tree from it. But we don't know what that tree might be or what species that is, or even if it's a species that, you know, it's probably going to do well here because they're using the rootstock, for the species that's on top. So if you did want to do it, you know, I'm not incredibly great at planting and trying to grow trees, but if you take it off, you know, you got to keep it wet. There are some rooting hormones that are really beneficial to use. You can get them at most garden centers. It's a powder that you can put on that cut end, and then you put it into soil and keep it constantly moist. I think you can also, you know, potentially put it in water. Some species you can put in water. I'm not sure if apple is one of them. But if you want to have a little science experiment, you can. Again, we just don't know what that might grow up to be, but it could be fun to try.
Yeah, I would be willing to try it. One other question, though, as far as the soil pH for this tree, apple tree, the one I have right now, what kind of pH or soil should I use for that? Or is my backyard ground going to be good enough?
Yeah, so apples don't really, I don't know exactly what pH they want, to be honest with you, but I do know that they want to have a well-drained soil. They don't want to be in compacted clay soil. So if your yard has a bunch of clay, which we often have here in St. Louis, it might be something to think about to augment that soil. Maybe you're putting Turfis is a product that I like to recommend if you do have a soil that's not draining well, but definitely you want a soil that is draining very well. I typically don't like adding in a bunch of amendments to my soil. I typically say I'm going to pick the right plant for the right place so that it will do well on its own. But we're talking about an apple tree and we're planting that specifically because we want to grow an apple, not because we're putting it in the right plant in the right place. So augmenting your soil in order to make the apple tree happy, I think is something that you should do. Root stimulator this time of year would be great. I don't always think that putting a fertilizer in at time of planting is needed, especially if it's in a grower pot. They typically have a ton of slow release fertilizer on the top of that pot. So if that's still present, I wouldn't use fertilizer. It's also something you're going to eat. So I always think about that and what I'm putting in the ground, because your tree is going to take up whatever product. So if you can use an organic fertilizer, which are readily available out there, there's also, you know, a lot of fertilizer specifically for fruiting plants or fruiting trees. And those, again, are at most of our garden centers and even at some of the big box stores. So just make sure your soil is draining well. I think that's the most important thing for the apple tree.
Okay, sounds great. I think I'm going to give it a whirl.
Yeah, let us know in the spring how it came through the winter and how it's going for you.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot. Have a great day.
Yeah, thanks so much. Up next, we have Ken on the line. Ken, you're on the Garden Hotline. Go ahead with your question.
Yeah, hi. So with all the hot, dry weather, our yard lawn has burnt to a crisp, just basically gave up watering it. But it was left kind of long, and right now it's just looking scraggly. And the question is it good, bad, or no difference to mow it now before it's turned back, you know, starts growing again and green, just to kind of basically tidy it up a little?
I mean, I think I could go either way on this. One of the reasons why we let our grass grow a little bit longer is to shade the roots and to kind of offer a little bit of protection to the roots underground. So a longer turf is technically, you know, more healthy. But we're in a drought. Most of our grass is dormant. Probably hasn't grown too much for you, especially if you haven't been watering. So I think it's going to be up to you. It's just, to me, going to be an aesthetic choice. I would probably not mow it. I would start, you know, if you're going to try to green it up and you want to, you know, improve the look and overall health, you know, getting it some water, thinking about overseeding potentially. But for me, that's just going to be an aesthetic choice at this point.
Okay, great. Thanks so much.
Yeah, good luck to you. One more call before we take a quick break. We got Scott on the line. Scott, go ahead with your question.
Yes, I had a soil test done earlier in the year, and it's a little confusing on what they recommend. Can I give you real quick just the results and see what you think? Or
sure, I can try.
Okay, the pH was high, the phosphorus was high, almost very high, potassium and calcium were medium, and magnesium was high. That was the four or five things there they gave me.
Mm-hmm. And then anywhere on that report, a little lower down, is there a section? Was this from the University of Missouri? I'm just trying to visualize what the form looks like and where the information is. So about the middle of the page, sort of on the right-hand side, is typically where they put their recommendations for your garden or your soil. So if there are no recommendations there, that means we don't need to do anything. Sometimes our amendments are high. But if they're not at an extreme level, then we don't necessarily need to do anything. And most of the time on those reports, if they want you to take action, they will put, apply nitrogen at X rate per square feet or whatever. There are some totals on there that are high. And, you know, like it just depends on what you're growing. If there's something that you're growing that is struggling and you think you need to amend that pH, then there's things that you can do for that. So for pH, for me, it's not always necessarily something that I mess with, because it's something that you have to constantly augment in order, to keep it at the level. So I just try to pick plants that, that go along with that pH, but it sounds like they don't have any recommendations for you.
There is a thing there. It talks about fescue, blue, and ryegrass, and then it says nitrogen is 2.0 and 4.0, and then everything else, phosphorus, potash, is all zeros.
Uh-huh. So if I am remembering that report, they might be asking or might be saying to, if you have that plant, that you need to add nitrogen. I'm having a hard time picturing what that said. So, you know, if you want to contact me off the show, you can send me that that soil report to my email, and I'm happy to take a look at it on Monday when I get to the office. But and if anybody has any questions, Michelle@pointerlandscape.com is my email address, and that's Pointer with a Y, POYNTER, and I could try to help you out with that if you need.
On a fertilizer bag, real quick, the numbers. The first number nitrogen.
Yes. NPK, I can't talk. Nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium. NPK is the order.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you. Good luck. And we're going to take a quick break. Next segment, if you have any questions, give us a call, 314-436-7900. This is KMOX 104.1, The Voice of St. Louis. And we're back to the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West with Pointer Landscaping, and I'm here answering all of your garden questions. We got about a half hour left of the show, so if you do have a question, please go ahead and give us a call. We're going to go straight to the phone lines. We have Mary on the line. Mary, go ahead with your question.
Good morning. I have over-fertilized my lawn, and I have a lot of brown dead grass, and a lot, and then where there's green, it just looks like crabgrass. So what can I do to have grass next year?
Why do you actually think that you put too much product down, or what makes you think you over-fertilized?
Yeah, I put that turf builder stuff with the fertilizer in it.
Uh-huh.
And then I planted some seeds, and it looked good for a while. It just grew. I had grass just growing real nice, and then it went brown.
Yeah, we've had a lot of brown grass this year, so I'm not sure if it's over fertilization. It might have been some disease that happened early in the spring where we had a lot of rain and cooler temperatures. We're just seeing a lot of stress on our grass now because of the drought. So, what I would recommend is watering. Even if it was over-fertilized, watering will help kind of dissipate some of that fertilizer out. And we are also in a perfect time for doing overseeding. So, getting some fresh seed down and trying to get some grass to germinate. And again, just continuing with watering. And then not fertilizing. Don't put any fertilizer down. If you think it was over-fertilized, I would maybe wait to fertilize again until you see how that grass flushes out. And you can, again, always do a soil test to see if it's a bad over-fertilization where you might need to put some other product down. But I suspect that just giving it some consistent, deep watering will help improve.
Okay, what about the crabgrass? Should I kill that?
Yeah, crabgrass is a seasonal weed, so it's going to die out. Next season, you just want to start really early with a crabgrass preventer in order to help from those crabgrass seeds from germinating next year.
Okay, so I don't need to kill crabgrass now?
No.
Okay, so just water.
Just water and seed, overseed.
Okay, water and overseed now.
Yep.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much.
Good luck, Mary. Thanks for your call. Up next, we have Tina. Tina, you're on the line. Go ahead with your question.
Hi, good morning. I have a potted lime tree. I've had it for about 8 years, and it won't produce limes. It's flowered a couple of times. I just want to know, do I need something to pollinate it or a specific fertilizer? Or I'm not really sure what to do so I can produce limes off of it.
So a lot of times, there's a lot of reasons why your lime tree won't produce. Some of it is as simple as the amount of sunlight that it's getting. It might be improper fertilization, sometimes too much fertilizer. I don't know if you've fertilized it at all, but sometimes too much fertilizer, is bad for it. Even improper watering, too much or too little, can affect it. pH of the soil, so depending on what kind of soil the plant is in the pot, that pH can affect whether or not something fruits. And then, like you said, pollination, a lack of pollinators can be an issue, along with if it's in a pot and it gets root bound, which just means, the roots have kind of grown to the edge of the pot and don't have anywhere else to go. Sometimes that being root bound can cause an issue with the not flowering. Do you have, when you have your lime tree, do you have it outside during the season or where do you have it?
Yeah, I have it outside in the summer months, and then I bring it in during the winter months. And, it dries out really quickly.
Uh-huh.
So I'm thinking maybe I just need to repot it in a bigger pot and put new soil in it. I've never done that. It's been in the same pot for about 5 years. So
that sounds like a great place to start. You know, when you are doing that, you're going to go to a slightly bigger pot. I wouldn't go extreme. You know, it just needs to go slowly up to a bigger pot. You can also look for specific soil blends for citrus trees. And again, they have those at a lot of garden centers, even some of the big box stores. I've seen a soil blend for citrus trees. So that soil is a big factor. You know, they really like it hot. They like well-drained soil. And there are some citrus-specific fertilizers out there. That's the exact combination that those citrus trees need. And if you just read the label on that and follow along. But definitely, I think a good place to start is to get a bigger pot, change out the soil, maybe get some of those roots, those outer roots, kind of cut back, do a little root pruning if it is compacted in there and root bound, and that will probably be a great start to getting that to bear fruit for you.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Good luck, Tina. We're gonna, we're gonna take a short break. Phone number to call with all of your garden questions, 314-436-7900. This is the Garden Hotline on KMOX 104.1, the voice of St. Louis.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
A message from a former New Yorker presented by StreetEasy.
What I miss most about New York City, I miss the life, I miss the culture, and just stuff to do, just stuff.
I miss being able to walk everywhere. I miss the bodegas. I miss everything about New York.
I miss everything. I miss the city, big time.
Let me know you get this. Love you, bye.
Get the local expertise you need to never become a former New Yorker. Go to StreetEasy.com to get started. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Incorporated, which has licenses in all 50 states.
Back to the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscape, here to talk about all things gardening for about the next 25 minutes. If you have any questions, give us a call, 314-436-7900. Before we get to the first call, I wanted to mention that if you guys are out and about tomorrow, the Bring Conservation Home Expo is happening at Tower Grove Park. If you're not familiar with Bringing Conservation Home, it's a program within the St. Louis Audubon Society. But they're having a native plant sale tomorrow. They also will have some native plant themed art from local artists. They have bird and bat houses available, but it's all about planting natives and helping the birds that are in our area. It also are migratory birds. So if you want more information about that, again, it was called the Bring Conservation Home Expo. That's tomorrow from 10 o'clock to 2 p.m. at the Roman Pavilion at Tower Grove Park. More information on that can be found at the St. Louis Audubon .org, stlouisaudubon.org on that. We have a ton of text messages that came in. I've kind of been ignoring them, so sorry about that. Let's go to one now. It says, good morning. Our mature maiden grass for the first time is looking bad. About half green and the other half very dry and brown. We neglected to water it with the intense temps. We will cut this back in a few weeks. Is there any concern about them coming back healthy in the spring? Thank you. I like this question. You know, we've been talking a lot about drought and what to do now. You know, these plants are most of the time pretty resilient, especially a more established plant. If you had grasses or trees or shrubs, things like that, that have been planted for a long time, they're going to be a lot more resilient and able to bounce back from this next spring. It is really important, though, to keep things watered. If you can, start watering them now. Every little bit of that's going to help while we're in these drought conditions until we start getting some cooler temps and some natural precipitation. One that you really should look out for are your evergreens. Those really don't like to dry out going into the fall. You know, you might have some dead evergreens next spring, and you'll wonder why, and it could potentially be from this drought period that we're having right now. So keep them watered, and hopefully most of this stuff will come back for us next year. Even if you can't keep them watered, you know, drought resistant plants tend to bounce back pretty great in the springtime. So just, you know, keep your eye on them and try to keep them watered. Up next, we're going to go to the phones. We have Reese on the line. Reese, go ahead with your question.
Hi, Michelle. I just first want to say Mike Miller would be proud of you.
So that's so nice.
You're doing a great job.
Thank you.
And I got a question. I got a boxwood I have not got around to trimming yet just because of the heat. Do I still have a couple weeks left on that?
For sure. Yeah. So, you know, we talked about this a little bit earlier in the show. Tax day to Labor Day is what I learned in college, but it's really a little bit further than that. We want to just think about when we might have that frost, our last frost. And we want to make sure our pruning is done a couple of weeks, 2 to 3 weeks before that last frost is expected. So we are a little bit hot right now, but cooler temps are on the horizon, it looks like, for next week. So I would say you're still good to go on boxwood trimming now for the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Good. And then I want to do some overseeding, but it's been so hot and dry.
I know.
I was wanting to wait until... Do I still have a little time left on that?
You sure do. And we had Kevin from Spectrum Lawn Care on the show with us last week, and we talked about all of this. And he was saying that you should just go ahead, go as planned. It is hot, it is dry, but if you can keep that seed watered, that you should just go ahead and get your overseeding done. Again, if you wanted to wait to see if this temperature breaks, just so you don't have to do quite as much watering, there's still plenty of time, several weeks left to get this seed put down. So waiting is not the worst thing, but you can, if you're ready to go ahead and throw that seed down. Just keep it wet.
And then lastly, I got some overstocked trees from the big box stores, and I like to put them out, but I really don't want to put them out right now until we get a little more participation in the, you know what I'm saying?
I like
so
that.
Do I have a little time on that?
Yeah, I like participation. We need a little bit more participation from, you know, the weather and Mother Nature. Yeah, plenty of time for planting trees and shrubs. Those guys, you can plant all the way up until the ground freezes. In fact, as long as the ground isn't frozen, you can plant trees and shrubs. Perennials, I would get in sooner than later. At Pointer, we're going to stop planting. We have a deadline to get all of our perennials in by October 1st. At my own personal house, that deadline is going to extend a little bit longer because I'm haven't had time to do it, and it's hot, and I like to wait till it's cooler out there. So definitely perennials, get those in sooner than later, but plenty, plenty, plenty of time for trees and shrubs.
Thank you.
Yeah, good luck to you. All right, let's take another caller. We got Chuck on the line. Chuck, go ahead with your question.
Good morning. A few years ago, I took down an oak tree that was diseased in the backyard. And where it was, the ground is sinking.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are we developing a sinkhole? Are we going to be swallowed up by the earth?
I hope not. That would be crazy. So did you have that stump ground out after the tree was removed?
Yes.
Okay, so oftentimes when we ground out that stump, we either A, don't get all of those grindings out. So over time, as those start to decompose or get compacted under there, it will sink a little bit. Sometimes we get all of those wood chips out and we put soil on top, but the soil isn't compacted, or it's not overfilled. We like to overfill our holes a little bit when we're filling in something like that, because that soil is going to settle. The grindings from the tree stump are going to, like I said, settle and start composting. So that might be the issue. Hopefully that's the issue. Without seeing it, that is, you know, I'm almost positive that that's the answer. So you probably are going to just want to, you know, fill in with some more soil and, you know, maybe do it, overfill it a little, and then overseed again or put some sod over the top.
Should I plant another tree there?
I don't. So you can, is the answer. I don't always love planting a tree directly where the old one was. You know, there's all of that underground roots structure that could still be there that might have been missed. You know, I just want to give my tree the best possible start. I'm not saying it can't survive there, but there could be issues from planting it directly where it was. So I would, you know, either move it a little bit to the left or the right, or just pick a completely different spot for the tree.
All right. So fill it with some soil and be generous. Overfill, as you said.
Yep.
Plant the new tree elsewhere.
Yep.
All right. Well, many thanks.
Yeah, no problem. Happy planting. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break. We have one segment left before the end of the show, so we'll do a quick speed round. 314-436-7900. This is the Garden Hotline on KMOX 1041. We're back to the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West, and I am from Pointer Landscape. I'm the Director of Horticulture, and I'm here for about 10 more minutes to answer your calls. So we're going to try to get to them quickly, and hopefully we can answer everybody's final questions. We'll do a little bit of a speed round. We got Tom up first. Tom, go ahead with your question.
Good morning. I'm trying to find out. I've got Bermuda grass creeping into my yard from my neighbors. How do I get rid of it?
Sorry. Okay, next question. It's not easy. You know, I actually just was with our lawn care provider, Spectrum. We had Kevin on last week, and we were talking about this Bermuda grass. And I have a client that has a lot of Bermuda grass. So one of the things that you can do is this time of year, you can spray it with Roundup or some kind of grass killer, and then overseed. The problem with that is that the Bermuda grass is going to come back. It'll just be something that you potentially will have to fight. But the best way to try to do it is this time of year. Fall is a great time. Again, again, just hit it with some weed killer or grass killer and overseed.
All right. Thank you for your help. Have a good day.
Good luck. Up next, we have Barbara. Barbara, you're on the Garden Hotline. Go ahead with your question.
I have a Dawn Redwood, and it has those real fine, they're almost like needles. Every one of them are turning like a reddish brown. They're drooping. Is it just from the drought, or have I lost the tree? And how can I transition a hibiscus from outside, inside, whenever the weather starts getting colder?
Good question. Your bald cypress is a deciduous tree, so it has fall color and will turn that rusty color and drop its needles. And right now we're seeing a lot of trees around town that are having early fall color, early leaf drop. And this is definitely due to the drought. Bald cypress love water, can't get enough of it, can actually grow in water, can grow up out of a lake or pond or river.
It's not a bald cypress. It's called a dinosaur tree.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said it was a bald cypress. Did you say a redwood?
A dawn redwood.
Oh, dawn redwood. Similar thing, though. Yeah. They will drop their leaves. They look almost exactly like, I'm sorry, I misheard, but they do drop their needles. They are deciduous. So it is kind of like early fall color, just not getting that water that they need right now. So I wouldn't worry too much about it, especially if it's been established for a bit.
5 years.
Yeah. So it's rooted in there pretty well. I think if you can get it some consistent water going into the fall and winter, that you should bounce back pretty easy for you. And then as far as bringing the hibiscus in, you know, we are getting to that time where hopefully our overnight temperatures are getting kind of cold. You know, anytime it starts being consistently below 55 or 50 degrees, I start bringing my plants inside. I like to give mine a really good spray with the hose to get all of those cobwebs or bugs or things like that off. The other thing you can do is spray it with like a neem oil. You could also just spray it with like a mixture of Dawn dish soap and water, just to try to get some of those critters off before you bring it inside. And then when you bring it inside, it's going to want some sunlight. You're going to water it less through the winter months. Don't fertilize your plants coming in. We don't want to push growth. We just want to try to keep them alive through the winter time. So just consistent water, but let it dry out a little bit in between. And get it as much sunlight as you can.
Thank you.
Yeah, good luck. Last call. Susan from, it says Collinsville, but who knows? Susan, go ahead with your question. You're on the Garden Hotline.
Hi. Hi. I have shrubs that have sort of bagworms. Not the really big bagworms, but plenty of little bags of spiders, I guess. Spiders, worms, whatever, I don't know. Anyway, should I just trim them off? I need to trim my shrubs anyway.
Yeah, so is this like a kind of a spider web type of thing with like some little worms inside of it? Or is it like an actual like small little cocoony type of thing?
It's a spider thing, I think.
Okay. Either way, you can get those, you can pull those off by hand if it's just like one area. You don't necessarily have to prune it off. If you can clean it off by hand, hose it off with some water, you can cut it off if you need to. But most of the time that's enough to get rid of whatever critter that is, especially this time of year. We're seeing a lot of things. So, either manually remove it, or you can cut the branch off of whatever it's on.
There are quite a few of them, like 30 of them or something, and they're pretty close together.
Yeah, so you might even try hitting it with a hard stream of water from the hose, like put it on the jet setting, and see if you can get it that way. Yeah, it's hard to, without seeing what you're talking about, if it's like a fall webworm potentially, you might Google that and see if that's what you're seeing. Look at pictures of fall webworm, and then also bagworms, which are, again, those look like little cocoons that are growing on things. Those aren't actually very big. Those are about, an inch or so long. So, a stream of water or pulling them off, or even, like you said, you could prune them off.
Right. Okay. If it rains hard, maybe the rain will just wash them away.
Yeah, I mean, it might. I don't know. It would take, high pressure most of the time is the best way to go when you're trying to use water to get the critters off. But it could help for sure.
I need to. I'm going to prune it anyway.
Okay.
Maybe I should just prune them way back.
Yeah, you can definitely. That's also an option, is just prune them and try to get that out of there. But thanks for your call, Susan. I hope that you have some good luck with that. And thanks for everybody for their calls. Next week, we're going to have a special guest here with us. I have Jerry Pence coming from the St. Louis Community College Horticulture Program. He's actually the program coordinator. And he's going to come and join us and talk about an event that they're having there in October. So we're excited to have him. My name is Michelle Reeser-West. This was the Garden Hotline on KMOX 104.1.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
A message from a former New Yorker presented by StreetEasy.
What I miss most about New York City, I miss the life, I miss the culture, and just stuff to do, just stuff.
I miss being able to walk everywhere. I miss the bodegas. I miss everything about New York.
I miss everything. I miss the city, big time.
Let me know you get this. Love you, bye.
Get the local expertise you need to never become a former New Yorker. Go to StreetEasy.com to get started. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Incorporated, which has licenses in all 50 states.